Matthew chapter 9, we're going to discuss a major shift in our church this morning on emphasis, on focus, on the vision. So, Matthew chapter 9. So last week I preached on walking on water. This sermon is going to challenge some of you to get out of the boat and walk on water. And we're just going to read a little part of this, and then we're going to jump to Mark. Because this is the story of the paralytic that the four men bring to Jesus. Matthew chapter 9, verse 1. Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralytic lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." Come to Mark chapter 2. Mark in chapter 2 gives some more detail about this same incident, the same story. So come to Mark chapter 2. And we're going to park here. Mark 2, starting in verse 1, the Gospel of Mark. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door. They're packed in this house that Jesus is preaching in, and they're even packed outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And that is true, by the way, right? That is true. That's because Jesus is the Son of God. Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking. This is scary. Do you realize that Jesus reads thoughts? Especially in church, right now, he's reading all of your thoughts, whatever you've been thinking about, okay? He knows what you're thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." All right, I got to move fast to get everything in that we got to cover. So just some principles. Sometimes we need to provide helping legs in order to bring people to Jesus. Four men worked together to bring this paralytic to Jesus. Satan, I don't know, especially Sunday morning, Satan loves to shoot a spiritual paralyzing drug into people that need the Lord and they're unable to come. And we need to go invite. We need to help people to come to Jesus. I am amazed. All through, my years of ministry, we would talk to people who need Jesus and they say, "Yeah, we're going to come Sunday." I don't know what happens Saturday night. But you got to carry them. The church is called to go out and to bring people to Jesus. Originally, I was going to title this sermon, "The Man with 10 Legs." His two legs and the other eight legs that helped to bring him to Jesus. The church, we are called to bring people that are spiritually paralyzed to Jesus. And that's going to be our new focus. Off of the building construction, the parking lot construction, and on reaching people who need the Lord. When you bring sinners to church, sometimes the roof might fall in, right? Have you ever heard the expression? When we were at West Newton, I don't know what it was about that country area, but every time I would talk to people about coming to church, they would always say to me, "Pastor, if I come to your church, the roof will cave in." Have you ever heard that expression? I don't know if it's connected to this story or not, but they would always say that, and I would kiddingly say, "Oh, don't worry. We have built our church with extra supports so that the roof will not cave in if you come into church." And at West Newton, for a couple years there, I mean, sinners were coming to the Lord like you cannot believe. Here's a picture of the West. This is the first church we planted when I was 26. The brown building is the sanctuary. The gray building is their gymnasium fellowship hall that they built later on. So I have to tell you this story. We built the West Newton Church, and the church is growing, and lost people are coming. They're finding the Lord, and they would kiddingly say, "Hey, the roof will fall in." After we built the church, a crack appeared in the ceiling. And over the next year, the crack kept growing down the ceiling. And I called the contractor, and he's like, "Well, this is just a normal expansion and contraction of the trusses. We'll let the crack finish its course, and then we'll come back and replaster." So, do you guys, you know how trusses work? Have you ever noticed that on trusses you have those metal things where the wood meets together? I have a blow-up picture of it. Have you ever seen those on trusses? That acts like 100 nails to hold the wood together. Well, about a year and a half after the church was built, lo and behold, that metal, the people who built the trusses for the church had put that metal piece on 90 degrees, rotated 90 degrees in the wrong direction. And so instead of holding the wood together permanently, like 100 nails, slowly the trusses were pulling apart. And that's what was causing that crack. Well, after a year and a half, one truss finally broke. And just like a domino effect, when the one truss went, then every truss went, and all the trusses collapsed into the sanctuary of the West Newton Church. And fortunately, no one was in it. And believe it or not, the Lord saved all the pews. The trusses collapsed about 4 feet off the ground, but the pews were about 3 feet high. So the whole ceiling collapsed in. And the truss company realized it was their fault. And I am not kidding. Within a week, they had an unbelievable crew. Within a week, they came in and they rebuilt the roof and the ceiling and everything in 1 week because they did not want it out in the news that they had defective trusses. But I say to myself, maybe it is true. When sinners come to church, the roof might cave in. So, and of course, I'm being facetious. But we need to reach people. And these four men went to an extreme to get Jesus into church. You realize that they had to come through the roof because the crowd wouldn't let them in to the church. The people who need to get into church couldn't get in because the crowd kept them out. You would think that the crowd would say, "Hey, let's get out of the way. Let's make some room. Here's a paralytic. This guy really needs Jesus. You know, we'll get out so that the paralytic can get in and be touched by the Lord." But no, even the teachers of the law, they had a seat inside the house. They're like, "We're not moving." Were they for Jesus? No, they were there to criticize, to complain, to carry on about him blaspheming, forgiving sins. They were there taking up seats in the church, but they wouldn't give up their seat for the guy who really needed to be in there, right? Do you know that sometimes I've discovered that sometimes it's the people in the church who hinder new people coming in? So by your attitude, by you not greeting new people, by if a new person comes in, there are studies, if a new person comes in and just one of you gives them the cold shoulder, maybe you don't like their tattoo, maybe you don't like that the guy has long hair, maybe you don't like it because it's an interracial couple, whatever, just one of you gives them a cold shoulder. Oh, what are you doing here? You know, you don't even say anything. It's just a look. You just look at me. Guess what studies show? With only 20 of you are friendly and you shake their hand. Hey, great to have you. You know, and you're praying for them in your mind. Boy, these people need the Lord. This is exciting. But one of you gives a cold shoulder. What do you think happens? Does that person come back or not? No. And it only takes one person, one Pharisee, as I call it, one religious person to crowd the church up and to give a message to the people who need the Lord. We all need the Lord. And to send them on their way. Isn't that amazing? Growing a church requires all of us as a team. I guess the Lord has just set it up that one bad apple ruins the whole core. The Lord's just set up a church. If just one of you makes it your mission to make sure that sinners don't come in and the paralyzed who need Jesus, that's exactly what will happen. That's why it's so important that we're all on the same page, that our call here is to grow the church and to reach people who need Jesus. Are you with me, or are you like thinking to yourself, I'm not changing. If I don't like the person, I'm not being nice to them. Just remember, Jesus knows what you're thinking. And he died for that person. That's how much he loves them. Okay, sometimes it takes our faith to activate God's power. You'll notice that when the four men lower the paralytic, Jesus saw their faith. And then he said, son, your sins are forgiven. I believe that it's not just when we open up the altars, it's not just the faith of the people praying. It's when God sees our faith and we believe that God is going to move in the prayer time. I also happen to believe that churches that believe, when we believe that God is going to reach the lost people of Mars, Cranberry, and this area, that's when it will happen. When we believe that when people come here, they're going to meet Jesus, they're going to get right with the Lord, we just have the faith, we're excited, we're standing on it, we're praying on it, we believe. When a church believes that, then lost people start coming and finding Jesus, okay? When Jesus sees our faith, that we believe Mars Alliance is going to grow and reach lost people, then I believe it will happen. Spiritual forgiveness is better than physical healing. You'll notice that Jesus says, son, your sins are forgiven. And they're like, you know, of course they're carrying on, only God can do that. And then Jesus goes, which is easier? What do you think is easier to say? What's easier for God to say? And I'll give you my interpretation. I think it's easy for God to say, paralytic, stand up and walk. I think for God to heal someone, that's a snap. That is just so easy for him. I think it is much more difficult for Jesus to say, son, your sins are forgiven, because it's going to cost Jesus his life on the cross. I think Jesus was giving this paralytic the best gift, the ultimate healing that there ever was. I know coming to the altar asking for healing is important, but you understand someone meeting Jesus Christ and being saved, giving their heart to Jesus, is way, way better than just physical healing. And Jesus gave this man an amazing gift. Son, your sins are forgiven. And when people come to Mars Alliance and they meet Jesus and they hear for themselves, son, your sins are forgiven. Daughter, your sins are forgiven. That's an amazing healing. That's an amazing gift from God, right? Working as a team may be more effective than working alone. I noticed Jesus sent out the disciples two by two. I noticed the Apostle Paul went in team. I noticed even when God created Adam, he said, man, it's not good for man to be alone, and got us a teammate, you know. So working as a team is more effective than working alone. Team means together, everyone achieves more. So I want to praise you. I want to talk about the shift now. So I want to praise the Lord. We've been working on the church facilities for about 2.5 years. I got here just over 3 years ago, but 2.5 years ago, we began the remodeling of the building, and we started with getting the chairs that you're sitting in. But over the last 2.5 years, I know this is hard to believe, but think of everything that we've accomplished as a team. From the remodeling of, and I think of Slick. Slick did that whole lobby area and the ceiling, and he just loved the house of God and directed all the workers. And, you know, we forget the floors and the ceilings and the crown molding and the coffee area. And then we worked on the children's area. Of course, we added air conditioning in the children's area. We had no idea that the air conditioning in this sanctuary was going to go down permanently. So we had to do that. We didn't know that the heating system was going to go down permanently, and we had to do that. We did not know that we had a water issue that we had to work on, and we did that. And then we did the sidewalks, and we didn't know that the roof was defective, and so we did the roof. And then we've done all the parking lot, and we had underground springs and all this stuff. It's been a busy 2.5 years. But we're done. Okay, and we did this thing. Bathrooms, a lot has been accomplished. And it's been a team effort, no doubt. Trustees, odd jobbers, people in the church, painters, construction workers, people giving. Wednesday night, I've been hearing the Wednesday night prayer people praying every Wednesday night for all the construction workers and everything happening and all this. It's been a team effort of all of us over the last 2.5 years working on the building. And it's pretty nice. Is there stuff left to do? Yes, minor stuff. Some bathrooms still need updated. Very minor stuff. I told Phil Coombe, we're done. Till next summer, maybe. And then maybe we'll tackle some of the minor stuff. But September 1st, we're done. Okay? It looks good. The lights will go in on the parking lot. That's the final thing. Some landscaping is going to happen. They're already working on that. But it's a shift. We're taking a shift now. Okay? You with me? That was just actually boot camp for all of us. That was just preparation. That was just us getting used to being team, seeing what God could accomplish with everyone working together. And it is amazing. I know, I think I've shared this with you before. When I came to Mars Alliance, I was told that when you go to an established church, it'll almost be impossible to get anything to change because it takes forever, because people are set in their ways. And when you're in church planting, you can make changes and build buildings, and it's real easy. But I want to say to you that I have been so impressed that you have been so open and so... I think we've accomplished way more than I ever imagined we would, okay? And it's beautiful. I mean, I'm telling you, other churches are copying us now, other Alliance churches, okay? But a shift is now going to occur. And there are four things. We're going to shift to outreach, which is actually even more exciting. You know, it's exciting when a project gets done. Like the parking lot, yes, rejoicing. But it does not really compare to the rejoicing of a man or a woman or a teenager or a child that gives their heart to Jesus. It doesn't, it's just a little taste of the joy you get of seeing souls come to the Lord. So we're going to make a big shift here. And the shift is going to go to outreach. And I got four things that I want to talk to you about with outreach. And in your bulletin, you should have a sheet. Do you have a sheet there that has a sign-up sheet? And if I could have some ushers, there's extra copies in the back to pass out, because everyone needs one of those sheets. So if you only got one bulletin and you're a couple, you need another one of these sheets. So every person has a sheep. So raise your hand if you don't. And if you're a kid, you need one of these sheets as well. So I don't want the kids thinking, uh-oh, this means 18 and above. No, this means about 10 and above. 10 years and above. So everyone get a sheet. Okay, so here are the four things that are going to occur pretty quickly here. Number one, on September 13th, we are going to celebrate. Now, during the services on September 13th, in all three services, we're going to dedicate the children's area, the roof, the parking lot, the bathrooms. We're going to dedicate the church to the Lord, okay? That's during the services. But then at 12 o'clock, we're going to party. And so it's a community block party. And we're going to invite the community. After all, they've been watching the last year and a half of the mountain move and the construction vehicles and all. So we want them to come celebrate with us. So we're going to have a community block party. Now, we need your help. This definitely has to be a team effort. And that's the one area that you can sign on that sheet. Here's what we're going to do. People come. We're going to have four inflatable bounce houses. We're going to block off this lower parking lot, okay, below the sanctuary here. And we're going to have huge bounce houses. And the reason why is any kid that drives by with his parents on 228, the parents are going to regret it. Because the kids are going to go, we got to go there, Dad, okay? Here is this is for the little kids. This is the skid loader. This is with the theme of construction, okay? Can you see how big that is compared to a little kid? Okay, so that's the bounce house. This is going to be the obstacle course bounce house. This is where you will take me on, all right? And we'll see who's in better fit shape. Scott Clary, you and me? You're going to go for it? Okay, you race together, okay? I'll probably try to practice a few times before I take you on, but. So we got that one. This is the Boulder Dash blow-up game. See how big these are? We don't want anyone to miss these from the road, okay? And then this is the giant slide. We have fire. Oh, we're going to do a scavenger hunt. We have fire trucks coming. The police are coming from Cranberry and Mars. They're bringing some of their trucks and vehicles for people to see and look through. So we're going to have a good time. Now back to the scavenger hunt. Everyone has to do a scavenger hunt through the church. And so they'll start at go through the youth area, and then we'll take the scavenger hunt. We'll take them through the children's area and up through the sanctuary, through the coffee area, and into the gym. In order for them to get the delicious free food that Mike Trubisky is going to make, they have to do the scavenger hunt through the building. And they'll get to meet the youth leaders and the children's leader. And maybe we're going to put some worship up on the videos here and head down. Okay, you with me? But they have to do the scavenger hunt to get the free food. So it's taking all the new people through our church to see the whole thing. Then they get the food. Now, where do we need your help? We need team. So we need people to man the inflatables. We need friendly people outside. We want to take pictures. We need people to help through the scavenger hunt to direct the people. We need people helping in the gym with all the food. We need everyone else being friendly and just welcoming and talking about our church. And this is the best church. And when you see people with kids, you talk about Awana and the Sunday school. And when you see, you're just talking up about the Lord and this and that. We need everyone to be part of this. Oh, by the way, this block party is actually not for you. This is for the community. Your party's today. Today we party, okay? None of you should miss today. The weather is perfect out there at Clary's Lake. Today is our party. We're going to get together. We're going to party as people get baptized. We're going to eat food. Today's for us. September 13th, it's not really for us, okay? We want everyone to come, but you understand I don't want you to think this is a day for you to party. This is really a day for us to do outreach and to minister to our whole community. Now, here's the biggest thing we need. I told you we need team. We want to pass out this brochure door to door Saturday morning to all the communities around the church. So from 8 to 9:30, only an hour and a half, we'll put you in teams of two. You'll walk down through like Adams Bridge here, and you hit both sides of the street. It's amazing how many homes you can hit for an hour and a half. You're not going to knock on their doors. You just go in the doors. They'll be sleeping from 8 to 9:30 Saturday morning. They're recovering from Friday night. So you just put the brochure in their door. You'll be able to hit hundreds of doors. We only want you to go for an hour and a half. It's exciting. If you've never done this, it's exciting. It kind of reminds me a lot of Jesus sending his disciples out two by two. There's just this blessing. So the more we have signed up for that hour and a half, the more communities. We're mapping out all these communities around the church. There's tons, hundreds and hundreds of homes that we want to invite to our block party. But we need you to be willing to come for an hour and a half and walk the streets and put them in cars and on the doors of homes. All right? The more that sign up, obviously, the more people we can invite to our block party, other than them just driving by. Okay? So that's the block party outreach. If you are willing to be part of the team, sign your name on the side of the sheet that says block party. Right? Is there some side of that sheet that says... All right, and then we'll contact you to find out, you know, I'll help in clean up in the kitchen, or I'll help with an inflatable, or I'll do the door-to-door. I'll do it all. I'll just give that weekend to the Lord. I'll be there for an hour and a half Saturday, and I will be there 1 to 5 on Sunday. All right, so I need you to sign up, because I'm going to collect these at the end of the service, okay? This isn't happening next year. It's happening in 3 weeks. Is everyone with me? All right, so we need help. Number two, the second thing that is going to occur is we are going to start a new ministry called Married People. Now, unfortunately, I cannot reveal very much to you about this exciting new ministry to married people. Just to tell you that the staff has already experienced the thrill. Most of the elders have already experienced it. It's so exciting that unfortunately I can't tell you about it, okay? Because it's going to be revealed to you bit by bit. But just stay tuned. It's coming, and it's a great ministry not only to the married people in our church, but it is an outreach to the married people in the community. And I cannot go any further without being shot. Singles ministry. So if you're single in the church between the ages of 18 and 100, you want to put down October 25th. It's a Sunday. Put it down on your calendar. After church, we want to meet with all the singles for a meal after the service at the, you know, at 12:30. And we want to talk to the singles of our church and ask them, how can we put together a singles ministry? What are your needs? What would you like to see happen? Are there single people willing to be part of the team to do a singles ministry that not only ministers to the singles in our church, but will reach singles of the community? So October 25th, is when we want to hear from the singles, okay? And hopefully launch the singles ministry. We're hoping singles take it on, okay? And then the fourth thing, which is probably, to me, one of the most kind of important things of all of these. They're all important, okay? And again, I just want you to realize we're shifting to outreach. So I would like to put prayer teams together in the church. And I got this this inspiration, call it from the Lord, from this passage this week. Remember, how many men brought the paralytic to Jesus? Four. And the Lord just said, Joe, why don't you put together prayer teams in the Mars Alliance Church of four? Okay? And I'm not going to put, I know right away someone's going to go, well, how about a husband and wife and a husband and wife? I'm not going to do that. Because if just one couple moves away, then it's like you just have a husband and wife. So I'm going to put four men together. I'm hoping to create teams. I'm hoping you sign up. We'll make teams of four men and teams of four women. And I hope that the teams are mixed so that maybe we have a 14-year-old, a 32-year-old, a 58-year-old, and a 76-year-old. So we'll try to mix the teams of the men and women, different ages and backgrounds and stuff together. Now, well, if you're willing to be part of this prayer team, my challenge, it will be for 1 year. I want you to meet once a month minimum. I'm thinking Communion Sunday, you get together with your team before church or after church, and you're going to share, you're going to be praying for each other's friends and relatives and neighbors and coworkers to come to know Jesus. You're going to be like the four men carrying the paralytic, but you're going to be in prayer, pleading for the souls of your friends, neighbors, and relatives. On each of the prayer teams, I hope if I have enough prayer teams, we have like 12 elders, and we have like 6 or 7 elders in training. So I figure I'll put one elder with the men, and maybe I'll talk to the deaconesses about being with the women. If we even have more prayer teams than the elders and the deaconesses, then I already talked to the people Wednesday night who are comfortable with praying that I would put them with the prayer teams. So when you get together, if you're uncomfortable praying out loud, that's okay, because the prayer team leader will be the one that will pray. All you're going to do today is say, hey, I'm willing to be part of that four team. Eventually, we'll give you a sheet once you have your team, and you'll write down the names of the first names of your friends, relatives, neighbors, your grandchildren, all the people that need the Lord, and you'll share that with your team, and you'll be praying for your other three team members, their loved ones, and they're praying for yours, and then you meet once a month to just pray together and talk and ask God what's happening. A 1 year commitment. So are you with me? I have no idea. I'm like to the Lord, Lord, how many people? I think this is the whole key to outreach, right? This is where the rubber hits the road. This is getting out of the boat. Remember last week I talked about get out of the boat and walk? Because I know some of you are going to go, man, I've never been on a prayer team. Step out of the boat. Go for it. This is, to me, going to be the key, whether Mars Alliance grows or not, depending on how many people we have in our church. Imagine with me, imagine if everyone in this church, I know, as I said to my wife, there's only one time that I've seen everyone it happen, and it was the day of Pentecost. Everyone was filled with the Holy Spirit. I just long for the day that everyone says, you know what, Pastor? I'm in church. I know Jesus Christ. Prayer is the first thing that I should be doing. Of course I'll be on a prayer team. I can't imagine not being on a prayer team. And you're only asking for 1 week out of each month and pray with three other brothers and sisters about my family to get saved, my friends to get saved. Of course I'll be on a prayer team. But I know... can always pray for a miracle, right? And I just go. Do not feel that you have to pray out loud. But this is your opportunity to share with your prayer team for people to pray for your unsaved spouse and unsaved neighbor and coworker, and to bring these people in prayer. You know, they brought that paralytic through the roof to Jesus, we're in our prayers going to bring people who need Jesus, and I view it that Jesus is now at the right hand of the Father. We're going to break through the roof this way with our prayers and take our prayers to Jesus who's at the right hand of the Father. So I want to share with you, let me see what time it is here. Okay, I got 2 minutes. About probably 6 months ago, I had a dream. Now, I get dreams every night. I dream. Does everyone else dream? Who doesn't have any dreams? Pastor Gary? You're going to break down. You're going to wind up being a pastor if you don't have some good dream. No. So, you know what it is? You don't know you dream unless someone wakes you up during your dream. Your wife's not waking you up enough. So, you wake her up. So, and I don't remember most of my dreams, but about 6 months ago, I had a dream about Gideon, and I wrote it down in my diary. I keep this diary, like what goes on each day, and the Lord in the dream was telling me the story of Gideon. Gideon had 32,000, he's going to go into battle, and he has 32,000 soldiers, and God goes, it's too big, too large. I won't get any praise or glory. So send home those who are fearful and afraid and don't want to step out of the boat. And so 22,000, I think, roughly, say, we're out of here. It is too scary. We're not doing it. And they leave. But the Lord still goes, still too many. And, of course, you know, he eventually whittles it down to 300. Men, committed men. And of course, you know, they break bowls and show the light and shout for the Lord and are victorious. Well, the Lord told me in this dream that he said to me, Joe, I know there's like 700 people that attend this church, if we could get everyone at the same time. But the Lord said to me, there are 300 warriors in Mars Alliance. That's how many you have. You have 300. And I'm going to do a great work in Mars Alliance. It isn't all 700. I wish it was. There's 300. And I just wrote it down totally. It's been in the back of my mind the last 6 months, but kind of, you know, way in the back of my mind. So last week, I'm talking to Phil, and I said to Phil, I talked to him on the phone, we're supposed to have 275 parking spots. And so I said to Phil, hey, what's happening with the parking lot? He says, it's all done. We put in all the lines. And of course, Phil goes, and miraculously, God added 25 new spots, more spots than we planned for. We just got them. And so then I said to Phil, well, how many spots do we actually have? And Phil goes, Pastor, we have exactly 300 parking spots. And I was like, Phil, 300? And he goes, well, I counted twice. One was 300 and one was 301. I'm going, because I'm not doing it a third time. There's 300 parking spots. Now, Phil doesn't know about my dream, but the Lord was saying to me, Joe, do you remember what I told you about Gideon with the 300? And it was the way the Lord saying, you have 300 warriors in this church. So I guess my question to you again for the prayer team is, are you one of the 300? Are you one of the 300? Are you one of the 300 that is going to pray, that's going to have the faith to believe that God's going to fill all of these chairs? That the reason God gave us a parking lot for 300 is because there are going to be, that's how many parking spots we're going to need. That the reason we went through this whole hassle for 2.5 years is because God now wants to grow the church inside. Are you one of the 300 warriors for the Lord? And you remember, they didn't actually like fight. They just broke the clay vessels, and they let their light shine. You're just going to be a prayer warrior. You're going to shine for Jesus. You're going to share him, and people are going to come to the Lord. Are you one of the 300? I want you to sign up. I will be part of the prayer team. And that's just, I guess that's what I'm praying for, is that I find my 300 warriors to move this church forward. That's really what I came here for. Some people think I came here to remodel the church. I did not. Not at all. I think it had to be done, but we're shifting to what the Lord is really calling us. So take your hymn book, and we're going to, Bonnie? Nope, that's a Bible. I'm going to open up the altars, and I want you to come and bring your slip and lay it at the altar and commit yourself to, yes, I'm on board. I am part of this team. I'm going to serve in some way or another, whether it's with the block party or on the prayer team or both, whatever. But I want you to come and lay it on the altar and just give yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, so many of you, I think of Earl. Earl has painted, Earl has done electric, Earl has replaced ceiling tile, Earl has been on the roof, Earl, well, shift now from all of that to prayer, going, witnessing, sharing our faith and our heart. And I pray we really see God do amazing things. By the way, this thing with the prayer teams, I was talking to Pastor Paul Cope yesterday about this. I have never done this before in any church. I don't know any church that does it. This is just what the Lord's laid on for Mars Alliance. I have no idea. At the end of 1 year, we'll look back and we'll decide, was this good or wasn't it good? But I am not following any pattern that's out there, okay? We're just how the Lord's leading. So you bring your sheets and your hearts and bring them to the altar here.